This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we have to answer a very important question going around these days. Nobody seems to know the answer. We'll solve it. Plus, speaking of questions, some quarterback questions for the NFL with the schedule being released. All these teams put out their fancy video releases. I'll give you my thoughts on the Falcons and the Panthers. And a whole lot more throughout the afternoon. Hey, don't forget, last chance for me to warn you, that following the weekend, the 2022 Summer Golf Tour begins next week on Monday is when the foursomes will go on sale Monday, 8 a.m. And next week, it's the Links at Stono Ferry. It's 10 weeks long throughout the summer, different golf course every week where you could get yourself a foursome for the low, low price of 98.9, like the station. And it starts next week. The Links at Stono Ferry. So foursomes go on sale Monday, 8 a.m. after the weekend. Can't warn you anymore. By the time we're on the air next, it'll be all sold out. CharlestonSportsRadio.com is where you got to go. 8 a.m. on Monday. Set your alarms. Put it in the calendar. Do what you got to do. The Links at Stono Ferry kicks off the 2022 Summer Golf Tour, which begins next week and goes over most of the summer, the next 10 weeks. Always a fun time, great deals, good courses. Get out there, whack some balls around. Starts next week, Monday morning, 8 a.m., CharlestonSportsRadio.com for the Links at Stono Ferry. Good luck getting one of those foursomes. They go quick. So these teams, I've been talking about it throughout the afternoon. We got the schedule release last night for the NFL. And as I said, it's kind of like when the new iPhone comes out. Like, it's a big deal. They do an hour TV show. And then it's like, okay, here's the schedule. It's like, all right. And it gets you excited for the start of the year, right? But it's like when these new iPhones come out and you think like, ooh, what's the big thing about this iPhone? And it's, there's nothing. There's not really much of a change. It's a half a centimeter thinner. Like, oh, fantastic. And it doesn't make a difference. But with that said, I don't mean to mock the whole process because I get excited. I love the schedule release day in the NFL. Gives you something to look forward to the start of the year. You can start, if you're one of those that you like to travel, right? You can start making your plans. Like, ooh, my team, or the Panthers, Falcons, whoever, they're playing in this city on this day. That'll be a fun trip. Let's go there this year. We haven't been there. Right? You could go for the holidays even. So it's always very fun. It's the start of the upcoming season. Now it's all official. We got the schedule. We know who's playing. We know when they're playing. So on and so forth. And with it, these teams always put out these extravagant videos on Twitter to announce their schedules. And every team in the league does it. So the Falcons put out their video. The Panthers put out theirs. I saw a lot of people giving love to the Falcons video. You can go online and watch these videos. A lot of them are pretty long. Like, the Panthers video is like 3.5 minutes. The Falcons about 45 seconds. Now, what the Falcons did, it's one of those, like, I don't know how to describe it, one of those domino things where, like, you knock the ball. You've seen these before. And the ball goes down like a ramp, and then it shoots off, and it goes on another ramp, and it knocks these things down. And it's one of those extravagant things that you may build, like, in your room for fun. If you have nothing else to do, and it knocks down one thing, and then it goes on another thing, and knocks down another, and then a bucket falls, and eventually it leads to, like, throwing something in the trash can, right? There's never any meaning to these things. Sometimes maybe it throws, like, a dart at the board. That's pretty cool. But you know what I'm talking about. That's what the Falcons did. And then along the way, they were throwing subtle jabs at their opponents. I just didn't think it was that great. I didn't think it was that great of a video. Watching the little ball, it gives me kind of anxiety. And also, the jabs they took, like, it starts with Brady. There's kind of like a statue of Tom Brady holding a sign saying, I'm retiring. Like, okay, that's great. I mean, I guess there's not much you could say about the greatest quarterback of all time. Then the Panthers are next. And I didn't pick up on this. I didn't get the significance, but people pointed out online. I guess this is what it has the Panthers there, and then it has a sign that says, like, welcome to, I think it's Palm Beach. And I guess David Tepper, he bought a house in Palm Beach, and Falcons fans were, like, mocking the Panthers fans that David Tepper doesn't want to live in Charlotte. He bought a team in Charlotte and then moved to Florida. I'd rather live in Palm. I don't think that's an insult. people always buy homes in Florida. I don't think many people, like, retire to Charlotte. You just buy a football team wherever you can. But, okay, that's the jab you take at Carolina. For the 49ers, not bad. It was a no-passing sign. It was like a trolley like you have in San Francisco, and there was a no-passing sign. Or a pass, you know, it said passing with the line through it. Which I guess I take that as taking a jab at the Niners that they don't have a passing attack. Jimmy Garoppolo or even Trey Lance. That one's not bad. That's pretty good. Then you get to the Saints, where they were mocking the Saints, probably the most hated rival, just because Kevin James played Sean Payton in some stupid Netflix movie or show, whatever it was. All right. That's great. I don't think the Saints care, or Saints fans like find that offensive. That's no jab. And when it got to the Rams, it said the other L.A. team. All right. Decent. Kind of low-hanging fruit. Also, they just won the Super Bowl, so I guess there's only so much you could try to say. Right, the Falcons, you haven't had a winning season in a couple years. Rams are Super Bowl champs. You can't really punch up at them. But that was about it. That's all. That was the whole video. And it's one of these little domino things that made me nauseous by the end. And I thought, that's kind of underwhelming. The coolest thing about the video is that it was like on a loop. They did it so well that when it ends, it starts again, and you don't even realize that the video started over. The sequence just continues, this whole domino thing. The little pinball is back at the beginning going through the same route, and you don't even realize, like, oh, wait a minute, the video started over? I already saw this, right? Like, it's so flawless, the transition. That's the one thing I'll credit the Falcons for. Otherwise, the video I thought was pretty poor. Meanwhile, the Panthers. Now, the Panthers know the way to my heart, let me tell you. If you listen to the show, you know I'm very nostalgic. And so the Panthers, they set their video release just all about the 90s. I don't know if there's some sort of significance why they chose to do it this way, but I love it. And it starts with a kid on a bike, riding around on his bike, and then he's got one of the cards in like the spokes of the wheel of the bike. I never did that. Now, I rode my bike everywhere growing up, but I never did do the trading card, the baseball card, in this case, the Carolina Panthers card, in the wheel of your bicycle. But he's walking into the house with a Walkman, which is playing Montel Jordan's This Is How We Do It, classic song, and I love the Walkman. We used to go to the local pool, right? And I'd have my Walkman with me all the time. Those big, they were so clunky, but it was the best you could do back then. We just got news that the iPod's being discontinued. That's heartbreaking. But long before the iPod, you had that Sony Walkman, and you'd walk around with it, and I'd always try to put it in my pocket because you don't want to hold it, and then it falls out of your pocket, and it's smashed, and the CD goes flying and everything, and your headphones come unplugged. You're trying to squeeze it into a tiny pocket in your shorts. And I have to be honest. If I'm telling on myself, usually around that time, I was of the age when I was at the local pool listening on the Walkman. It was probably the WWF theme song CD. That's what I used to listen to back in the day. I thought it was very cool. Used to listen to like the D-Generation X intro song. That was some good stuff back then. Love a good Walkman. Then he walks into the house, right, and he's got the sister on the phone with the long cord, and he's got, like, another sister eating cereal at the table, and obviously the wardrobe's all 90s, and then he's got the old computer on the desk, and it's got the screensaver. That used to be a big deal, and it's the big, huge, you know, you remember those box TVs? Well, the computers, of course, used to be the big box. It'd take up a whole desk back in the day, and he sits down at his computer with the big computer, and he's using, like, the floppy disk. I have to make sure how I say that properly, and then he's going on AOL. Oh, man, I'm watching this video right now. Brings back a lot of memories. And it's got one of those those little, like, what was it, Yumagachi? What were those little circular things called? And you press the buttons, and it brings up the different faces on that screen. And that was Mother's giving him bagel bites. Oh, I love bagel bites. Trent, are you a bagel bites guy?
Luke, let me tell you something. I've had many a nights with bagel bites. Oh. They are unbelievable. Pizza rolls, bagel bites, they are up there, Luke, no doubt.
I didn't know that was like a 90s thing. I hope the little bagel bites are still popular today.
Oh, they have to be. That is a national treasure, and it's a national emergency if they're not.
Yeah, seriously. Love a good bagel bite. And he's also got the Dunkaroos. That was my favorite snack as a kid. Love a good Dunkaroo. And by the way, as he goes to sit down, he walks by the game on the table that's Guess Who. That was my favorite. This is right up my alley. Guess Who. I got more hours out of that game as a kid. You ever play Guess Who?
I don't know if I've ever played Guess Who, Luke. This might be one of the disconnects with this video because I understood the nostalgia, but I don't know if I grew up in that correct time. Yeah. I might have just been past my time a little bit, Luke.
Yeah,
or
I get it.
Before, excuse me.
That was such a fun game, right? Does your guy have a mustache and then you have to put them down? And I think Martin is on TV, Martin Lawrence's show. And he's putting in, that's Super Nintendo. He's blowing in the cartridges and having to put it in back into the Super Nintendo. Actually, this is NES. This is before Super Nintendo. We were not an NES family, but we did have Super Nintendo, and my brothers and I got a lot of time out of that. Now he goes to the ice cream truck outside, and he gets a push pop. Although I think that's a SpongeBob. Is that SpongeBob? That was like late. I don't know if that is SpongeBob. It just looks like the same colors. Because SpongeBob was like 99. That was late 90s. You got the fish. Oh, my goodness. Things I haven't thought about in years. The singing fish on the wall. You ever see one of these fish on the wall?
No, I have not.
Oh, we used to have one of these. We thought it was hilarious as kids back in the day. And it's singing like Elvis songs to you. It'd be a fake fish on the wall. And there'd either be like a button you would press, or it'd be like motion. You would turn it on and it'd detect motion. And if you walked past it, the fish would start dancing on the wall and singing like a Elvis Presley song.
Now that's fun. That's fun. We loved it.
It's one of those things, though, like it gets pretty old fast. You walk by it in the hallway, it's like, all right, enough of this stupid singing fish with the Elvis song. But I haven't thought about that in years. I just saw that in this video here. All right, hold on. We got 45 seconds left in this video. I'm going down memory lane here. The old DVD screen. So they're mixing. Maybe that's the idea. They're moving forward in time because now he walks into his bedroom. He's got on the TV the DVD screen. They made fun of this in The Office.
Mm.
When if you weren't watching a DVD, it would have like the Sony logo bouncing in all corners of the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think a VHS thing. I think VHS maybe used to have that as well because I remember that from school. And I don't think we were playing DVDs in school. Maybe we were. Maybe that was the early days of DVD. But he's got that going on in the on the TV in the bedroom. And then it says Y2K. Yeah, that was a huge deal. People thought the world was going to end, which seems so ridiculous looking back. The computers were going to attack us. And then this game, I don't remember what game this is. You had to catch like the mouse. That's a fun one. And last couple things, a lava lamp. Yep, my brother had a lava lamp.
Classic.
Are those still in? Do people have lava lamps?
If not, Luke, I think the Tomorrow Midday Show should try our best to bring them back.
You know, Scott does his show in here like with the lights off.
Right,
so,
yeah,
I mean,
he's got
on.
A lamp in there. Yeah. I always told him I was going to give him a lava lamp because that'd be a lot cooler aesthetic-wise.
Yeah, bring in the lava lamp. He's got the posters on the wall. Absolutely. Every kid used to do that. Sports Illustrated or some of like the hip-hop magazines used to cut off Rolling Stone magazine used to cut off the cover and put it on your wall. And he's playing. I know it's radio, so I should be able to know the names and describe these things. I don't know the name of this game, but we used to have it where you had the Velcro pad that you used to put on your hand, and you'd throw a ball back and forth, and you would catch it with the Velcro. And it was like a tennis ball, but it was a fuzzy tennis ball, and it'd stick to the Velcro. I don't know what that game's called, but we played that as kids growing up. He's doing that. He's throwing the ball off the wall and catching it on his little Velcro pad. Slap bracelets. Do you know what a slap bracelet is?
Love a slap bracelet.
Oh, I used to have a slap bracelet back in the day.
I don't know if there's an actual name for the Velcro catching. It's a catch and toss game is what it's apparently called. But that was a classic, no doubt.
And then the last thing, he lays down in his bed. This isn't the last thing. Hold on, there's still more. He lays down in his bed, and he's got on the ceiling up above, he has those like starry letters. I had that growing up, too. My parents, they put like stars on your bedroom wall, and it would light up the room a little bit. When you're laying in bed, you look up at this. It'd be like looking up at the sky. And then the last thing, I don't know, this video keeps going. The Etch-A-Sketch was, of course, popular. That was used in Toy Story. I wasn't good enough to use those. I hated those things. I wasn't talented enough. And now the video ends. Okay. That is a lot packed into 3.5 minutes of my childhood right there. The Panthers, you know what you're doing. You just won me over. Love that video. So now, as you said, Trent, you're a little bit younger than I am. Maybe some of those things didn't hit as close to home because maybe some of those things you didn't grow up with.
Sure.
But I love it. That Panthers video was good.
No, it was good, and there are some things in there, you know, that kind of hung around the house once little old Trent was around, no doubt about it. But, yeah, that was about, I would say, 8 to 10 years before my time, all that good stuff. Like, the computers and everything was, you know, relatively modernized by the time I was able to use them.
I just noticed now, too, that the commercial on the TV is the What's Up commercial from, was it Budweiser? Was Up back in the day? I tell you, beer commercials were so good, late 90s, early 2000s. I've said this before in the show. The beer commercials were top-notch. You had the Budweiser, the Was Up. You had Coors Light used to do the fake NFL coach press conferences, which were hilarious. You had, of course, like the Frogs, the Budweiser Frogs. I'm trying to think of the other ones. There were so many good ones. Oh, Real Men of Genius, Bud Light. That was fantastic back then. Beer commercials were top-notch. 20 to 25 years ago, they were the best commercials on TV. The Was Up was a classic. They even made fun of it in movies. Anyways. Oh, and Twins. That was also the beer commercial, right? That song. I think that was Coors Light. They had the jingle with the Twins. That was good. Good stuff. Love this stuff. On a flashback Friday, we throw it back and bask in the nostalgia. Falcons, I gave you kind of a failing grade on the video, if I'm being honest. Panthers, you get an A++. You're right up my, you know, that video was made specifically for me, and I love it. Coming up, we have to answer a big question, and we'll also get to some quarterback questions as well that we'll touch on. The More Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Been breaking down the NFL schedule release throughout the afternoon for the Falcons, the Panthers. Both teams, obviously, they face very similar schedules. You know, for the Falcons, their schedule is front-loaded. First seven games, you get the two Super Bowl teams from a year ago. You got back-to-back games on the West Coast. You got to go on the road to face Brady and the Bucks. You even get Deshaun Watson, the Browns mixed in there. So the Falcons season could be over real quick. For the Panthers, you could get off to a little bit of a sudden start, maybe. You get four of the first five at home. Maybe even Deshaun Watson will be suspended week one when you take on the Browns. And then you get to week four. That's where it gets tough. Four straight playoff teams, weeks 4-7. So unfortunately, when it comes to the local teams around here, seasons may be over by Halloween. For the Panthers and the Falcons, they may be buried by week 8, right, which puts us right into November. In fact, pretty much when they play one another. They'll play one another on Thursday Night Football. It's the only primetime game, and it'll be November 10th, I think it is, Thursday night game. I believe it's in Charlotte. And by the time we get to that game, it'll probably be very irrelevant because those two teams will not be in the running, I would imagine. Now, you can always text the show, 843-608-1734, to get in touch with us. On the text line, somebody asked if Sam Darnold should compete with Matt Corral for the job if they don't bring in Baker Mayfield. Yeah, I do think it should be some sort of competition, and I think that Matt Rhule, or even maybe Scott Fitter, I do think they said something similar coming out of the draft. You know, like you go into the offseason, I would say similar to Clemson. DJ is certainly your starter. If you had to name a starter today, right, it's Sam Darnold, it's DJ, but there should always be a competition. No one's job should be safe where they can't lose said job. And in this case, right, for both Clemson, you bring in Klubnik, who may not be ready right away, similar to Matt Corral. Two guys that you're excited about. And Corral, granted, was a third-round draft pick. But if you listen to guys like Chris Sims, he believes Corral is the best quarterback in this quarterback draft class. Maybe it was a steal. Maybe it turns out to be a steal for the Panthers. I've seen on the text line he's been compared to Jake Delhomme, right, who Delhomme was undrafted, led the Panthers to a Super Bowl. You know, hopefully Corral has something similar where he overachieves based off of his draft position. But I think the Panthers and Clemson are similar where you have these quarterbacks that were not good enough last year, but they're more experienced. They're the veterans. They're going to come in this year as your starters, but the job certainly shouldn't be safe. Sam Darnold hasn't played well enough to guarantee himself a spot. DJ at Clemson hasn't played well enough to guarantee himself that spot. Neither job should be safe. And then you have these young guys behind them that have potentially, you're hopeful about their futures, but they're just not ready yet. Klubnik, right away, may not be ready. Trevor Lawrence didn't even start right away. Took a month. Right, Deshaun Watson, Dabo was certainly hesitant to start him his first year. So I don't know about Klubnik. Even if he may be the most talented or end up having the better career, I don't know if he's going to be ready right away. And same for the Panthers. Matt Corral, third-round pick, right? Probably not going to be ready to start week one. But if the Panthers, with this schedule, you get off to that slow start, you're 2-5. At that point, it's like, all right. And maybe that's too soon to pull the plug, especially with the extra playoff teams this year. Maybe you'd be hoping that you go on a hot start second half of the year. But if Darnold's not playing well and you're 2-5, it's like, all right, what are we waiting on? This guy's not the future. You know Sam Darnold's not your future. You just hope he's good enough to be competitive this year or next year. So a long-winded answer to the question. It sent me down that path. But yeah, I do think it should be a competition. I think Darnold goes into the summer, training camp, preseason, all this stuff, regular season, as the clear one. But the job is only so safe. Right? A 1A to a 1B. Corral's just not ready yet. If this was last year's draft class and the Panthers were able to get like a Justin Fields or a Mac Jones, we'd be having a different conversation. But Corral, he's a third-round pick for a reason. right? Was injured, by the way. Last time we saw him on a football field, he got injured. So I don't know what he's like in terms of the healing process. Maybe you want to ease him back in. Tua came into the NFL off an injury at Alabama, and things haven't been so smooth or great for Tua. So you want to give these young guys extra time to heal up before you throw them out there. But yeah, Darnold should be the guy, but shouldn't feel the safest. Most quarterbacks, right? That's kind of, to me, that's how I would run my organization. Unless you have an Aaron Rodgers, a Patrick Mahomes, obviously those guys have the ultimate job security. Otherwise, like, you should always be at the quarterback position, always be competing for your job. And I always want to be bringing in competition to try to get better at that position. So I imagine Sam Darnold, we'll get to probably today coming up, we'll get to some quarterback questions. But that is the question around the Panthers is, you know, does Sam Darnold, does he start the majority of games? Does he make it through the year? Do they bring in a Baker Mayfield? It's still about the quarterback position there with Carolina. Speaking of said questions, now, of course, we spent more time at the start of this hour breaking down those Twitter videos of the Falcons and the Panthers releasing their schedules. But that Panthers video was just so good. There was so much stuff in there from my childhood. But there's also this. There's this very important question going around, and we have to be the ones to answer. We're going to get to Trent's takes coming up in a little bit, but I want to get his take on this serious, very important subject matter. Here is Gabe Kapler, manager of the San Francisco Giants. And Gabe, I don't know how this came up, and it also sounds kind of serious in the back and forth. But Gabe Kapler brings up a very interesting question involving facial hair. Here's the here's how the back and forth went with the manager of the Giants the other day in his pregame press conference.
So this is sort of like the, is a hamburger a sandwich?
Oh, it's a
question.
Important.
Like hot dog, is that a sandwich? Like where does that? Okay, so this is about mustaches, since it's Mustache May, and I was talking to some of our players who have full beards. If you have a full beard, do you also have a mustache?
No.
No. Okay, so here's my counter to that. If you go to the barber shop and you have a full beard, the barber may say, would you like me to leave your mustache a little bit longer? Doesn't that mean that you have a mustache?
No.
I've never heard a barber say that.
So would you say
do you have a full beard?
Oh, I used to.
Yeah. So,
and
yeah.
If you want a mustache, just shave off the rest of it. Is that what you're trying to say, Gabe?
No. We have a lot of players who wear full beards. In my opinion, they are participating in Mustache May. So what's the line? Let's say you take your beard down to like a very short half or one, but you leave your mustache like Kurt Casale sometimes does, like more Tom Selleck style. Is that then a mustache?
Very important question. Everybody's debating. Does that count as a mustache if it's part of a full beard? Now, before we get to actually breaking down this question, and I'll get Trent's take on it. Again, the reason why I said going in, I don't know if this was like a serious thing or not, because it sounded kind of serious. I don't know if there was some sort of like controversy about Mustache May. I don't even know what Mustache May is, I'll be honest with you. I've heard of No Shave November. I've never heard of Mustache May. Trent, do you know what Mustache May is?
I've never heard of it, and I wish I could be a part of it, Luke. I mean, is there, you know, something, a charity that's benefited from Mustache May? Is like, you know, No Shave November is?
I don't know. I'm Googling it now. It looks like maybe it's more of a superstitious thing about for the Giants. I don't know. It says it hope. Here's the headline. Giants hope Mustache May gets them going, but then it also says helps good cause. So I guess it is some sort of. I'm now trying to read the article to get the information.
One of the reporters, though, that was asking, she sounded serious. She was
that's
like,
what
no,
I mean.
Gabe, this is not, you're wrong, Gabe. And it was like, wait a minute, has this been a debate in the Giants press room for quite some time?
That's what I'm saying. And there was like no laughing. If you watch the video, Gabe's not cracking a smile. Like, it seemed like a very contentious and kind of serious debate. I don't know if there's some sort of drama around the team that the media is trying to dig into and Gabe is trying to defend his, I don't know. And there's that one, I don't know who she is, but you could hear it's a female reporter, which is who you're referencing. And she's, by the way, she's the first to very quickly answer no when yeah. Gabe asks the question, does a full beard equal a mustache? And she says no. Now, it's not that I this is going to probably sound bad, right? It's not that I don't respect her opinion, but I don't know, when we're talking facial hair,
yeah,
can she be the first person to respond? Can she give the best answer compared to Gabe Kapler, who has the facial hair? I don't know, because she also later in the press conference said, something along the lines of, if you want a mustache, just shave off the rest of it. Is that what you're trying to say, Gabe? it was just like such a weird follow-up. I don't know what is going on in this clip.
Maybe Luke had started in the clubhouse with the players and the managers, things of that nature, and Gabe was a little frustrated. So he took it to the press room, and then we had the reporter, you know, that was basically, she was, you know, ready to go on her take on this. Maybe her and her significant other have had this debate as well. Who knows?
Yeah, she was a little fired up on this topic. So now I ask you, Trent. First, the first thing that he first mentions, is a hamburger a sandwich?
Is a hamburger a sandwich? I'd like to say a hamburger is its own thing, but I mean, there's two pieces of bread with meat and cheese, you know, depending on how you get it, in between, you know, two pieces of bread. So I'd have to say a hamburger is a sandwich.
Interesting. See, I think I consider it its own thing.
Right. That's what you say. You don't say, hey, I'm going to go get a hamburger sandwich. No, I'm going to go get a hamburger. Like, if you're going to get, you know, an Italian sub, you're getting an Italian sandwich.
Yeah. Okay, what about a hot dog, though? Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, that's in its own world.
Yeah, I agree. What's I think a hamburger bun? Is more of a sandwich than a hot dog.
Sure, yeah. A hot dog bun is different than, you know, two pieces of brioche bread.
Yes, I agree. Now, the very important question. Gabe, we are here to help. If you have a full beard, like I guess I do, you can't see, it's radio. Could I also say I have a mustache? Or is a mustache clean-shaven everywhere except over the lip?
I mean, you know, I immediately think of Tom Selleck, right? Like, yeah, that's a mustache that, from the gods, basically, you know? So I would say, Luke, if you have a full beard and a mustache, it's more of, I would think you just have a full beard, Luke. I wouldn't say Luke has a beard and a mustache because it is very, very full. You got it filled out over there. But I think I would just say you have a full beard because it all connects. If it doesn't connect and you just have the stash, then yeah, it's a stash.
I don't know where I
this is a very difficult question. I'm glad we've addressed it.
I think I'm trying to explain this as clearly as I can. I think I don't even know how to come up with the words. Like, I think if you have a full beard, you do have a mustache because it's included. I don't know. I don't even know how to properly. I have it in my mind. I can't even get the words out.
If it all connects, it all connects like yours does.
Yeah.
What would you call it?
I would just say a beard.
Bingo. I think that it was that the question, or I feel like, you know, Honest Gabe over here was kind of trying to dive deeper into what the meaning of a full beard is.
Well, here's the thing, right? So it's mustache May. Gabe has a full beard, and I think some of the players still do. So I don't know if the pushback is saying, like, that's kind of a cop-out, right? You have to shave it and just go with the mustache. It's mustache May. And so I think Gabe's saying, well, hold on. We don't have to shave our beards because we do have a mustache. It's part of the beard. And so that becomes the talking point. If you have a full beard, does it count as having a mustache, or is a mustache only when that's the only hair on your face?
Let's think about it like this. You're walking down the street, right, Luke?
Yeah.
You know, you're moseying around town on a Saturday afternoon, and you see somebody with a Tom Selleck-type mustache, just full, no beard. You're going to say, wow, that's a great stash, right? Now, if I saw you walking down the street, didn't know you, were walking around, I said, you know what? That guy's got a pretty full beard, even though you do have the mustache with the beard.
You are correct. I wouldn't say that somebody with a beard has a mustache, but I also wouldn't say that they don't have a mustache.
That's the problem.
Yeah. That's the dilemma,
My brain is scrambled.
Mine as well. I was trying to organize. That's what I wanted to say. And I had it in my mind. I couldn't get the words out how I wanted to say that. Yeah, if you have a beard, you wouldn't say like, oh, look at that guy's mustache. But you also can't say he doesn't have a mustache. So that's the gray area in all this. I am actually, now that I've listened to the clip again, and have heard some of the contentious nature of that debate, I have to look into this. I don't know if this is a serious drama or if they were like tongue-in-cheek and they just have that relationship that maybe Gabe, right? You know, you have those sarcastic people in your life where you can't tell if they're joking around. And maybe they have that type of relationship where this was all just joking and Gabe just seemed serious. But if you watch the video or if you listen to that audio, I don't know. I thought it was all fun and games, and then I heard it again and I thought, maybe there is something to this here. And there was that one reporter that was really, she was all over him. She was the first one to, no one else really wanted to say anything.
She wanted to get to her questions. She said, Gabe, what are we doing? I mean, we're on a time crunch.
Yeah, maybe she wasn't having fun. Because I do love that response. When she says, if you want a mustache, just shave off the rest of it. Is that what you're trying to say? No, I don't think he's trying to, you know, reveal his latest facial hair trend. I don't think that was the whole idea. I see here a portion of all proceeds will be donated to Bring Change to Mind. A nonprofit organization that aims to end the stigma surrounding mental health issues. So that's great.
Yeah.
They are, they teamed up with Breaking Tea is the company that they're working with. And they, the Giants have come up with shirts, Mustache May shirts. So anyways, a fair question from Gabe Kapler. I guess that would be my response. And Trent said the same. Right, if you have a full beard, I wouldn't necessarily say you have a mustache, but I also can't say you don't have a mustache. So I don't know. There's a gray area there.
I also know people like that you know can't get the mustache myself. Like I could go yes. full on the sides here, but it looks like you know I'm the Wolverine. I just got chops, and I don't think people want to do that.
It's true. Now it took a little while for my full beard to come in. Eventually, or originally, when the facial hair started to grow, it was just the mustache.
Sure.
And then the sideburns too.
Oh, really?
And then, you know, the chin, the cheeks, everything came in.
Can we bring back that look for the summer?
Oh, no, you don't want that look. I'll tell you what, in college, so I was dating someone in college. They studied abroad.
Yeah.
So I thought, all right, I got 6 months. Like, I don't have anybody to impress. I grew out, like, the mutton chops.
Oh, wow.
It looks ridiculous. I don't hate it. The photos look ridiculous, but I embrace it. There's still, you know, there's photos from my college days, and I had long hair at the time.
90s boy band type thing.
Oh, even older. I remember I came home once. And a relative said, like, you remind me of my uncle. Like, I looked like somebody from the 60s or 70s.
You said, I need to make a change yeah. right now.
I said, hold on, let me go use the bathroom. And I grabbed a razor. And that was the end of that. But yeah, there you go. I'm going to keep that in mind for our next bet. I'm going to make you have to try to grow a mustache.
Oh, okay.
You have to go a while without shaving.
I'm not going to go in public if that's the case for at least 6 months. But I'll do it for the show. Anything for the show.
That's right. I'll keep that in mind. Somebody on the text line said, if you go to Wendy's and order just a single burger, they will ask you just the sandwich. Ooh, interesting.
Wait, sorry, say that again?
You go to Wendy's and you order just the burger instead of the meal, right? Mm-hmm. You just get a burger. The person working at Wendy's will ask you, just the sandwich?
Ah, okay, and Wendy's, you know, they do have great burgers. I wouldn't say they're known for their burgers, but they have great burgers, so maybe they are the authority when it comes to is a burger a sandwich.
That is a great point raised. See, I think the burger is closer to a sandwich than certainly a hot dog. There's no debate. We could debate about a cheeseburger or a hamburger being a sandwich. But that is true. At the fast food places, they don't say just the burger. That's what I would say. You know, you're cooking out or something. Yeah, you just want a burger? I wouldn't say, like, you just want the sandwich? But that is true. Now, Wendy's, they do have, like, the square. I don't know. Maybe that makes a difference. Also, on the text line, Google says a full beard contains a mustache, chin, sideburns, and cheek hair. Yeah, so it contains a mustache is part of the full beard. So, but I don't know if you could say they have a mustache, they have a beard. The mustache becomes part of the beard. But again, you also can't say, like, oh, that person doesn't have a mustache.
Initial reaction, you wouldn't say, look at that mustache on a full beard.
That's never the reaction.
No, you start at the bottom.
Unless, as Gabe mentioned, the mustache is thicker than the rest of the beard and it stands out.
Ooh, now it's, or, you know, sometimes, you know, you got a little gray in there, potentially some other colors. If that's what your eyes go to, then maybe there's a debate there.
Right, got a little gray in the mustache, right? What are you going to do? You let it grow. I don't know. Important question. So we have to. The weekend's coming. This is going to bother me all weekend. I don't know. We'll get the trends takes when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll get back to the NBA playoffs, plus the five steepest drop-offs for athletes in their careers, because James Harden is now on that list. We'll continue to break down the NFL schedule release, and coming up later on, I'll give you already my first pick of the NFL season, a specific game, now that the schedules are out. We got plenty more to do throughout the afternoon, but we do it around this time every day. We find out what's on the mind of the producer. It's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's
Panther.
Right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The Radio Cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Tighten those spurs because it should be a good one, ladies and gents. Now, Luke, love that the Miami Heat moved on last night. It was a great win. Jimmy Butler continues to impress. I also love the shots he took at Joel, you know, after. It was friendly shots, but it also seemed like, I believe he was saying when he was leaving the court, like, you picked Tobias Harris over me. absolutely hilarious. I love it. He's an absolute dog. He's the type of guy you want on your team, Luke. But I do have some concerns for this squad, especially with the way Boston and Milwaukee have been playing. If we can't score over 110 points every game, I'm very concerned. And that goes back, Luke, what I've been saying all week about our bench, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. We got an undrafted guy, Strus, who played at DePaul his senior year, went to Chicago, got cut. He's now starting for the Miami Heat and making buckets. But we need our role guys, PJ Tucker, Victor Oladipo. I think Oladipo needs more minutes if we're going to have any type of success whatsoever against Milwaukee or Boston. I do still have some traumatic experiences from the Bucks sweeping us in four last year in round one, and I'm a little nervous, especially we still don't know where Chris Middleton is in his recovery process. And I also think, Luke, when I watched the 76ers last night, they had a lot more talent on that team. They should have beaten the Heat. They should have beaten the Heat in this series. Now, I don't put any of it really on Joel Embiid. I don't know if I can, just the way he was banged up. It all goes back to James Harden. I know Stephen A. talked about it. Everybody's been talking about it. He quit. He gave up on this team, especially in the second half. I mean, he didn't take a singular shot. So, like, what are we doing? Or he didn't take two shots. By the way, that's the same amount of shots that Ben Simmons took in the second half against Atlanta in the semifinals last year. And we saw how that worked out. And apparently, James Harden is due $47.5 million in his opt-in. And that's not the Sixers' choice, by the way, Luke. That's his choice. If he opts into the contract, the Sixers have to pay him that guaranteed money. Now, if he opts out, in his mind, who's going to pay him $47.5 million? Nobody. So he's going to go back to the Sixers, but they are stuck with paying him $47.5 million. And that's not great, Luke, because you have young guys like Tyrese Maxey on that squad. By the way, you're already paying Tobias Harris $128 million. Who signed off on that? I have no idea whatsoever. But you still got to pay Tyrese Maxey at some point if you want to keep him on your roster. How's Danny Green looking? And where's Joel Embiid's max contract? We're going to wait for that. So they're going to bite the bullet with James Harden next year. And by the way, there's no way that Doc Rivers is coaching this team next year. It's going to be Mike D'Antoni. This happens every year. Every single time we see this, Mike D'Antoni's going to go to LA. He's going to go to New York. He's going to go to Houston. He's going to go join James Harden. He's going to be the 76ers head coach. And once again, Luke, we'll see them go out in the first round, second round, no problem whatsoever. But an embarrassing performance from the 76ers. I need more offense from my Miami Heat, Luke, this next series coming up.
The one saving grace, and it's interesting how it's played out this way. The Celtics and the Bucks are both, you know, top defensive teams as well.
Yep.
So whoever the Heat face, it'll be, you know, a pretty defensive battle, which I still believe, right, offense wins. Defense, I think that's too old school. But here we are with the three teams left in the East that are three good defensive teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you with what you said on Philadelphia. I mean, this is what Daryl Morey wants, though. You knew what you were getting into when you traded for Harden. He loves the guy. He's blinded by love. Harden just doesn't have it anymore. And I wish I could remember the fourth name. But you have Steph Curry scheduled to make the most in the NBA next year. No problem there.
No.
After that, Harden, I believe, is two. Russell Westbrook is three.
Yeah.
And I think it's John Wall is the fourth one. Like three guys that are just complete train wrecks right now that are going to be making $40 million next year for their teams. A lot of bad contracts in the NBA.
A lot of and all those contracts are $40-plus million.
Yeah.
And I believe Russell Westbrook's sitting at 45, which is unbelievable. It's crazy to think about, right? Like, no wonder why the Lakers' ownership is absolutely just besides themselves and are having very emotional and heartfelt press conferences because they're having to cough up $200 million to keep a team around that's, you know, 35-plus years old. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, I mean, all those guys are going to have to get paid at some point, and all these franchises are just going to hope that more people are buying tickets because they're going to have a lot of money to make up. Luke, yesterday we talked about the Tyreek Hill video with Tua and the throw. Now, Tyreek has responded, and not only did Tyreek respond, the Miami Dolphins responded as well by putting out a montage of Tua throwing very nice balls to Tyreek, to Jalen Waddle and his receivers. They knew they messed up. Tyreek, though, responded to the video, and he said, and I quote, this is from a Twitter message, "Can y'all chill or not? We talking about practice." I absolutely love that, by the way, AI. And also, he tagged Tua, and he said, #dimes, #uno, #soul runner. What do those mean? Not sure. But it seems like Tyreek and Tua are on a good, you know, basis right now, and he might trust Tua. Or this is Tyreek going, yeah, I know the guy stinks, but I'm going to go support him on social media until about six games in when the ball's, you know, falling 20 yards short. But at least Miami put out a good video of him throwing the football, and his top receiver is responding in a positive way so far. So far, Luke.
Yeah, the problem is, though, it's May, right? So like you said, by the time we get to week six, you already have to defend your quarterback in May. We just got the schedules. The season is still 4 months away. It's not going to stop. This is the problem. And if I'm Tyreek, I don't think it's long. He could say whatever he wants on social media. By the way, used a Z at the end of dimes. So, yep. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You always put a Z at the end of the words. But, you know, Tyreek very quickly is going to realize you're not in Kansas anymore. Pun intended. You go from Patrick Mahomes to Tua having a fair catch punts over there on his, you know, his arm punts on those deep throws. I think Tyreek could get annoyed pretty quickly this year if things don't go well.
Rude awakening. And we've talked about it on the show, Luke. Like, you know, I bring it back to Devontae Adams. You had Aaron Rodgers for the last six seasons. He made you into the number one receiver in the league. You're also an incredible talent. But there is a major difference between Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. There is a massive difference between Patrick Mahomes and Tua Tagovailoa. So it was obviously the money. That's what everybody wanted. And, you know, I'm not going to disrespect somebody for going to chase their money. I hope everybody makes $1 billion. But you're going to realize very quickly that Pat Mahomes could run backwards 15 yards and still throw it down the field, you know, 60 yards while on his back foot. Unfortunately, Tua can't do that in this Miami offense. But, Luke, I know you have trust in Mike McDaniel, as do I. He's our guy. I absolutely love him. He's got clean swag. So it's going to be interesting to see what this Miami Dolphins team does going forward. Now, I wanted to dive into something real quick, Luke. The Offensive Rookie of the Year odds have came out, and I am very interested in them. Right now, Kenny Pickett is the favorite at plus 500. I was assuming that a receiver was going to be the favorite, like Drake London or Garrett Wilson, somebody like that.
Yeah.
But, like, what's your expectation? Personally, I don't see Kenny Pickett starting week one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if I see that happening. Unless he has a camp that everybody freaks out over, I feel like the safest bet for the Steelers at the beginning, and we've seen this with quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes sat for an entire year behind Alex Smith, and now look what he's done. He's won an MVP and a Super Bowl. Multiple guys have sat. Trey Lance, the jury's out. Jordan Love, these guys. They sit and learn. Are they going to throw Kenny Pickett into the fire week one? And we know Steelers fans. They will be very unhappy very quick. They've had greatness in Ben Roethlisberger for many a moons. So is Kenny Pickett going to be the starter? Personally, I would say no. Leave Mitchell Trubisky in there. Let him get a couple weeks under his belt. If you go 0-4, make the switch. But if you're winning football games with Mitch Trubisky, don't touch it. Don't do anything. Let Kenny Pickett sit, learn, and recover, basically.
I think there's some pressure because Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback, even though he went, whatever, it was 20th. But he was the only one in the first two rounds, so it makes him look better compared to his peers just because of that. So I think there's a little pressure, like, hey, this is the only guy that went in the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. We should get him out there. That's what maybe fans think. This is a great thing. This is why I love that the schedules are out, because now we can take a look. The Steelers begin in Cincinnati. Ooh. I'm not throwing Kenny Pickett out there in Cincinnati week one. Then they get Belichick week two. Sam Darnold, remember, said, I'm seeing ghosts out there against Belichick. I don't want Kenny Pickett against Belichick.
We know Belichick against rookie quarterbacks. Zach Wilson, remember last year he played the Patriots the first time, threw four interceptions in three quarters. Like, he struggles when they play rookie quarterbacks. So it's going to be interesting, Luke. I don't know. Personally, I would love to see him sit for a year, you know, and make sure maybe the hands can grow just a little bit more, you know. Maybe we do some hand exercises,
see
if we can, you know, because there's been a lot of talk, Luke, Richard Sherman and these guys, and I trust Richard Sherman's, you know, ability. Obviously, he's a Super Bowl champion, one of the greatest corners we've ever had, but he, you know, has come out and talked about quarterbacks that would wear two gloves. Teddy two gloves is awesome. Now we got Kenny two gloves, but they're not true starters in the NFL, right? They'll win you a couple games, but if you want to win a Super Bowl, is Kenny Pickett the guy to go forward with the Steelers for the next 15 years? My answer, if you want to know, no, personally. I just don't think it's going to work out the way the Steelers have hoped. If they wanted a franchise quarterback, you would have tanked this year, take Mitchell Trubisky all through the season, try to get a top 10 pick, trade up for Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, one of those guys.
Yeah, I think Pickett's more like Roethlisberger early or late, but what you need is Roethlisberger in the middle of his career. When Roethlisberger first came in the league, right, they asked very little of him.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like life, full circle, where You know, you start life in diapers, you end life in diapers. Same idea with Roethlisberger. By the time the end of his NFL career, same idea. It was like he was a rookie again. Like, hand the football off, get rid of it quickly, let's play good defense. I think that's going to be Kenny Pickett, which I guess is a long-winded way of saying kind of more like a game manager than some sort of star that's going to put the team on his back. And that's kind of what Roethlisberger was doing in the middle of his career, but I don't think that's what you're getting from Pickett. So in terms of like his career outlook, I think Pickett will be solid. I feel the same way about Mac Jones. Like, I think they'll be good quarterbacks. They could be a starter for a long time. I don't know if they're going to be good enough to bring you Super Bowls. They could get you to the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to win the playoff games.
It's lucky. Like, Kenny Pickett's lucky that he has Najee Harris in the backfield, and they did address their offensive line. And it's crazy to look at Najee Harris's numbers last year with one of the worst offensive lines in football, and he still put up 1,300 scrimmage yards. So that's a positive where, hey, we're going to run Najee at least 25 times a game. And, you know, Kenny, you're going to throw about 25 times. But then you think of Big Ben with Antonio Brown and all the other great receivers that he had, Santonio Holmes. He was throwing the ball 45, 50 times a game. Are they going to ask Kenny Pickett to do the same thing if their offensive scheme hasn't changed?
Yeah, right. No, I don't think he can. But that's that's a good thing for Pickett is that you're familiar with the area, you have a Hall of Fame head coach, you have Harris in the backfield, and you have a good defense, which has been, you know, top 10 defense the last couple of years. It's always been a good defense historically, every year for the Steelers, pretty much.
If Kenny Pickett's the starter and Mike Tomlin's first year going under 500, that's going to be very difficult. That's going to be very difficult to deal with. As him being the quarterback and for Steelers fans, they will never let that go, ever.
Probably next week on the show we'll do when I think we may see all the rookie quarterbacks. It's an exercise we do every year, and we'll probably do that next week. Pickett obviously has the best chance of any quarterback to get out there quickly, but we'll see how quick. We'll wrap up hour two next. The Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour two of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. I was watching the NBA playoffs last night. The schedule release is one of those things. I don't watch it live. I just wait till the news comes out. It's kind of like the bracket for March Madness. I don't watch the show live. They waste an hour of your time for nothing. I wait till it comes out, and then I go online and I take a look at it. Same I did with the schedules. I wait. I don't need to sit there and watch an hour of a bunch of hoopla, and then I'll go online and look at all the schedules. But I'll tell you what, I was also locked into the NHL playoffs because my Edmonton Oilers were able to stay alive. We have a bet on the show here where Trent has the Penguins. I have the Oilers. Whichever team gets eliminated first, that person gets pied in the face. And my Oilers were facing elimination last night on the road against the Kings. They ended up winning 4-2. Now they'll be home for Game 7 tomorrow night, and I feel pretty good. Connor McDavid. 12 points in six games of the series so far. Can you finally get me a series win? By the way, with what we saw last night, we have three Game 7s coming up in the NHL tomorrow alone. I believe they're all going to play tomorrow. The Bruins tying it up with the Hurricanes. That's music to my ears. The Lightning rallying to tie it up with the Maple Leafs. And my Oilers tying up the series with the Kings. The NHL playoffs have been pretty wild. And tonight, we get those Penguins at home, Game 6 against the Rangers, trying to move on. Let's go, New York! 7 o'clock tonight. Hour 3 coming up next.